Have you ever had the experience of being in a grocery store and you see a familiar stranger that you see one aisle and two aisles over, you see them again and then see them again? See if I ever had that happen to you. So this guy was walking in the grocery store one day and he sees this mom very patiently dealing with one of her young children, about 3-year-old. And every so often the child would go off and want to grab something, and just like a regular 3-year-old is prone to do, and the mother would very patiently say, "Be patient, Carly. Take a deep breath. You can do this." So it repeated itself for a couple of rows, and every time it was the same. "You're a big girl now, Carly. Be patient. You can do this. Just breathe." So as it would turn out, they ended up at the checkout line together, and the man decided that he was, "Oh, thank you. Thank you." She just pointed and said, "We've got slides. Okay, thank you." So the man was at the checkout line with her, and he said, "I have to tell you, I was really impressed with the way that you were dealing with your young daughter, Carly. I mean, you just did a wonderful job with her." And he said, "Well, thank you very much. That's kind of you to say, but this is actually my son, Jack. And I'm Carly, and I was talking to myself the entire time." So all of us probably have been in that situation where we needed to remind ourselves to breathe and to be patient and just to hold on. Just be patient. It's the theme of the day through our series, and it's a hard one, but it's an important one. Now, last week we told you what? Just be... That was tentative, but yes. Still. Just be still. And if all of you were practicing your 3 or 5 or 15 minutes of silence and stillness every day, you all would have shouted that out. You still have time to do that, if you'd like to do that. So you can still work that in. So just be patient. You would have thought that we could come up with some great characters and great biblical stories to illustrate this during this season of the year. There are stories of patience all abounding in the scriptures. There's a story of Elizabeth and Zechariah, who've been waiting a long time for a child to be born. It's at the beginning of Luke's gospel. And it's a great story, but it's not the one we're going to preach from today. There's a great story about Simeon, who is in the temple when Mary and Joseph come to present Jesus as a baby. And that's in the early chapters of Luke as well. A great story about patience, the high priest been waiting this long, long time to finally see the goodness of God and to see the redemption of Israel. But we're not going to preach that story either. Mary would have been a likely candidate, right? Because Mary has to do her own waiting as her body fills up with the presence of God and she prepares to give birth to this child. But Carissa gets Mary next week, so you're going to have to wait for Mary. Instead, we are going to give you Isaiah and John the Baptist. Now, Isaiah sort of makes sense, right? We get Isaiah's word of waiting and word of hope. But John the Baptist, maybe not the person we think of as the paragon of patience. As a matter of fact, he might be the prophet of impatience. He has this urgency to his message. He's got an axe that's ready to cut down the trees, and you better get ready, that kind of tone to his preaching. But we'll get to him in a second. Let's start with Isaiah chapter 40. This is a hinge point in the book of Isaiah. And this is a hinge point in the history of Israel. To understand this text, this beautiful text about make straight in the desert a highway for our God, mountains being leveled and valleys being lifted up and rocks being cast aside and all this to make a path for God to come through. You need to know about the history there. Earlier in chapters 1 to 39, we've been hearing words of judgment. We've been hearing about the fact that Jerusalem was going to fall, and in fact, Jerusalem did fall in 586 BC. And then the people are led off into captivity in Babylon, and they are wondering if God has abandoned them for good. How do they continue to worship this God if they don't have the temple anymore? How do they continue to worship this God if they're not even sure that God is present with them? And into this context comes 2 Isaiah, a little bit later, maybe a generation or two later, speaking these words of hope. God will bring you home. The highway through the desert is a path to go back home. And in fact, the people of Israel will get to return to their homeland just a couple generations after their deportation. It's a powerful message of waiting, but not just idle waiting. This is waiting in hope. Because God will deliver you. God has not abandoned you. God is still present to you. God will lead you home. Now, John the Baptist is another story. John the Baptist has this fervency to his preaching, and if you pay attention to the way that John is portrayed in the art over the centuries, John looks a little bit like this, kind of wild. His hair tends to be a little wilder. He's the crazy preacher down by the river who's only eating locusts and wild honey and who's sort of in a rough-hewn camel skin. And we picture him fiery preaching down there. This is God's judgment is coming. But in his message of repent and be baptized is also this word of hope. And this word of the thing that he is pointing to. If you pay attention to the art, you look at his hands. Through a lot of the ways that he's depicted, he's pointing. And here are his hands in a traditional icon. He's pointing. And what maybe one of the most famous of all the artistic portrayals of John the Baptist is him pointing beyond himself. And you see up that way is Jesus. Pointing toward Jesus. Here's a modern sculpture. Again, John the Baptist, he'd be pointing at the people, but he's mostly pointing himself toward Jesus. He says, I am not the one. There is one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now is the time to be waiting for that one, not for me, but to be waiting for that one. And it's now is the time to be waiting actively, urgently. Do something while you're waiting. Now, that would seem to contradict everything we told you last week. Last week, we told you to just sit still. And now we're telling you to do something while you're waiting. Well, it's a preparation of the heart. It's a turning back of our lives to God. Patience is not the ability to wait, but how you act while you're waiting. How you act while you're waiting. And in John's view, how we act and how we prepare and how we get ready for this one who is coming really matters. If you walk down the hall later today on your way to the fellowship hall, maybe you've already walked past this on your way into church today, you'll see a banner that looks like this. It's from our youth retreat back last month. I want to live like that. That was the theme of the retreat. And Reverend Lee had a couple of our college students come back and talk to the youth about their experience of being Christians, what they think it means to be a follower of Jesus. So Tommy Parker was talking, and Logan Dill, and they were talking about the fact that when you are a follower of Jesus, you really turn your heart to God, and you walk a different path. They were pointing beyond themselves to this Jesus, the one that they follow. And after they had spoken, and the words of the song were sort of resonant throughout the weekend, Lee encouraged the youth to sign that if they were willing to live like that. She'd encourage them, is there something in your path right now that is blocking your way to God? Is there something you need to get rid of? Write it down. Write it down. Is there something you need to take on so you can be a more faithful follower of Jesus? The words to the song go like this. I think they're perfect for this day. Sometimes I think that what will people say of me when I'm only just a memory, when I'm home where my soul belongs, was I love when no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of these? Was my worship more than just a song? I want to live like that and give it all I have so that everything I say and do points to you. If love is who I am, then this is where I'll stand, recklessly abandoned, never holding back. I want to live like that. And look at all those names on that banner of our youth who committed just a couple of weeks ago to live like that. Today, on this second Sunday of Advent, maybe there's something in your path that is blocking the way through the desert. Maybe there is something you need to take up to show the world that you are looking for and following this Jesus in your life. What would that be? Yesterday, I got to spend a day of active waiting. This is Holly, my wife, on the right, and my next-door neighbor, Kim, on the left. And the three of us were down in Rehoboth Beach for the the Seashore Marathon. It was a bright, crisp, and rather chilly, windy day. And it was, but it was a gorgeous day to be out, for them to be out running. I was not running. I was the support guy. I had my camera and the car, and I was meeting them along the way. I met them about five different points. I started in Rehoboth. I drove up to Cape Henlopen State Park, and then I drove into Lewis, and I met them along the way. And at every point, you sort of position yourself. If you ever followed somebody in a marathon, you don't see them right away. You sort of get there, and you see a lot of other runners. And so my job, I felt like, was not to just stand there and watch the runners. If you are a spectator in the race, what do? You encourage. You use the words of Isaiah, comfort, comfort, says my people, encouraging the people. And so I remember at one of the points I was up in Lewis, and they had just run about 5 miles north into a headwind. And I was standing right at a cone where they're going to get to turn and come back south. And I was saying to all of them, hold on, you can make it, good going, you're going to love this turn. You're going to love this turn, because the wind is finally going to be at your back. Those are the words of encouragement of Isaiah to the people of Israel. You're going to love this turn. Our God is bringing you back through the desert, back home. And isn't that our longing in this season, that God would bring us home to a place of rest, to a place of wholeness, to a place of healing? John the Baptist, in his own way, is saying, you're going to love this turn when you turn your heart to God, when you turn your eyes to the one that is coming after me, you're going to find your way. You're going to really find your way when you follow this Jesus. So maybe the question is, are you ready to run this race this Advent season? The good news is, back to the prophet Isaiah at the end of that 40th chapter, he says, those who wait on the Lord, as hard as it is, and let's face it, waiting is hard. It's hard work, but important spiritual work. Matter of fact, all the great spiritual writers talk about the significance and the importance of learning this practice of waiting. Those who wait upon the Lord, Isaiah says, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God gives strength to the weary and the powerless. God gives strength to the weary and the powerless. Friends, that is our good Advent news as we wait this season for God to meet us on the other side. The God that we wait for in Bethlehem, the God that we wait for to show up again and reclaim our lives. It is not a passive waiting, it's a waiting in hope. It is not a passive waiting, it's a waiting with urgency that we do the hard work of turning our hearts back to God. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Thanks be to God.